Welcome to this message in the Biblical Worldview series. This is a series of messages for Christians. A 2020 Barna poll showed that only 6% of people who call themselves Christians have a worldview that is aligned with the Word of God. That means that 94% of Christians have a view of the world that is more like the world than it is like Jesus. In Revelation 3, Jesus warned us this would happen, that the church would be lukewarm. He also said in that chapter that he would spew that church out of his mouth. He is disgusted by it. This series is for people who don't want to be lukewarm. This series will challenge you to examine what you believe. Keep an open mind and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal God's truth to you in these messages. If you sense that your view of the world is out of alignment with God's word, ask the Holy Spirit to help you change. In Matthew 7, Jesus said there are two paths that we can walk in this life. One leads to life, the other leads to destruction. A biblical worldview is the only one that leads to life and the abundant life that Jesus promised. If you have any questions about anything you hear in this message, let me know. So grab your Bible and let's see what God has to say to us today.
Good morning. Good morning. Guess what? I'm not Pastor Rick. I know, isn't that something? Pastor Rick and Kelly, went on a little bit of a vacation, but during that time, they had a death in their family, and they just attended the funeral. And so Pastor Rick will be back next week to share out of our current series. But I would ask that you pray for them because Kelly was pretty close to the relative that passed. And as many of us have experienced, not an easy thing to deal with in a situation like that. So I'd ask that, and they would covet your prayers, okay? Well, this morning, it gave me an opportunity to do something that I've been wanting to do for a good while. Yell at you. No. The opportunity this morning is to bring you up to date on the Calvary Chapel French Valley Missions Support Program. Now, many of you have heard about the orphanage that we support, our Pastor Brandon in Indonesia. But when you hear that name, or those names, you know, what comes to your mind? Well, prayerfully today, you're going to find out. Now, I've spoken at several churches on missions, and it's an interesting thing when you bring up the word missions or missionary, because I've actually watched people get up and walk out when we mention those terms. It's an interesting phenomena that happens. And this morning, what I want you to understand is that missions and missionary, they're not bad terms. You know, they're not bad terms. Nor does it mean that you personally are going to be asked to go to Africa. Or that you are going to be asked to live a life without convenience. That's not what today's message is all about. It is, though, that a missions program is an act of obedience. And our board here at Calvary Chapel believes that we need to be in support of missions agencies. So today, this morning, allow me to speak to your heart. Speak to your heart about what God wants from you. Calvary Chapel, French Valley believes and desires that we need to be faithful not only to conduct church, but to bless others. And that's part of who we are and who we will be. Secondly, this morning, you're going to have a chance to participate in a missionary exercise. And I know there's fear now. Don't worry. It's not going to be that bad. But we're going to get an opportunity to do what the Apostle Paul happened to him, and that was called sending out. And we're going to be able to do that towards the end of the service. So let's pray and we'll get into the message. Father, you're God. Whether we're here, Lord, in our sanctuary or around the world, you know it all, Father. We pray that in this message that you would help people to hear what you're doing around the world, not just right in front of us, but around the world. We lift up Pastor Rick and Kelly, Father, that you would put just a peace in their heart, that you would just bring them back to us safely, and that you would give them, Father, the opportunity to grieve and to experience your love in a deeper way. Father, bless us this day to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The title of my message is Beautiful Feet. And there's a couple of passages that talk about beautiful feet, and we're going to get to those. But a call to be a missionary is quite honestly on every one of us. Everyone. I know you don't think that you necessarily are a missionary, but you are. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, we're going to read here. I'm going to give you three ways that God desires us to respond when he calls. Let's read it, if you're there. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I will dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth, and with it said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom will I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell his people." Now, this was an event that happened to Isaiah, but when you think about it, it's an event of salvation. It's an event where God calls us, and there's a response that he has about our life. And for a missions agency and a missionary, it also has relevance. In verse 5, it says that that Isaiah knew that he was undone. And so my first method or way that I want you to hear God calling is that we have to recognize that we are undone. And from a missionary standpoint, you have to recognize that. In other words, we have to understand that we're far from perfect. And as I look out over our body, I have to tell you, I don't see any perfect people. Then I put the mirror up and I won't tell you what I do, but I know that we're not all perfect. But that's the first step. We have to recognize that we're undone. In verse 8, it says that we have to be willing to go. Isaiah said, "Here am I. Send me." And so we have to recognize where we're at. We have to be then willing to go and state that I'm willing to be sent. The third part of being called in terms of a missionary and quite honestly as a Christian is in verse 9. And in that verse, God says, "Go and tell his people." So the third thing that a missionary has to do is to be obedient and to go and tell the people. Now, who are the people? Well, it's anybody that's out there. You know, when you hear the word missionary, almost automatically people begin to think, well, I'm going to be sent to Africa. Or now, you know, it might be, well, I might be sent to the Middle East. Or that it's the pastor's responsibility. Or someone that is so super spiritual that they should go. But it's surely not me. But God wants to use every one of us. God has given us eternity. And because he's given that to us, those three methods, those three things that we have to go through to recognize, to understand, and be willing to go, and then to be obedient, they apply to every one of us. So God has called us all to share the good news of Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. And you know that, Paul was saying that to Timothy, but it really applies to us. And this church desires to prepare people to be ready. And so when an opportunity comes that we're able to share what God has done and is doing in our lives. The point is that we are all witnesses for Jesus Christ. Our life is a witness. And it means that we are communicating by our words, by our actions, by our focus and our priorities, who Jesus is to us. Who we are to those around us tells them who Jesus is to us in our life. That is missions. That is being a missionary. Now, Calvary Chapel French Valley supports missionaries because when you think about it, we support you in your life. We provide teaching. We provide opportunity. We provide the information that you need to be a missionary. And as you walk your walk with the Lord, it is our desire as a church to embolden you, to give you the strength where you are at to consider yourself a missionary. Now, some of the things that we've done as a missions work are things like the Christmas boxes that Cindy has coordinated and we send out because those touch lives around the world. The community outreach that took place a couple of weeks ago. And then we provide financial support for requests that come in, sometimes through you, sometimes through an outside agency, to support a missionary in their work. But the primary support that we have taken on as a church is a missions agency called STL International, or Shine the Light International. It's a ministry to Indonesian people. And as you came in, you were able to see a video of a dental team that went over to Indonesia. That dental team was something that we did in Indonesia multiple times. I can't even tell you how many times. But today, I want to share with you more about that work that's being done in Indonesia. And I want you to become familiar with that work because your tithe helps fund that work. Your tithe helps do that, which means that you're supporting a missionary halfway around the world. And as I shared earlier, we're also going to give you the opportunity to participate in a missionary act. It's kind of cool to think that you're going to be doing a sending out. It's kind of fun to think about that. The call to Indonesia. I want to go back and give you a brief history of STL International. When Deb and I first started in pulling together STL International, quite honestly, if you would have told me, this is over 20 years ago, that I personally would be considered a missionary, I would have told you that you were crazy. I was the person that said, when a missionary came, I'm not going to Africa. There is no way. In fact, if I ever went on a missions trip, it was going to be to a cold country. I hate heat. You know, the second missionary trip that I went on was to Haiti. You know how hot it was in Haiti? I wasn't used to that. We spent four hours in a bus, in traffic, no air conditioning, and I'm watching as sweat just drips down. That whole week that I was there, I don't think I had one cool moment. And I said to the Lord, this is why I don't want to do this. I made it through, but it was kind of a strange thing. But God in his wisdom called Deb and I and Pastor Brandon, although he was not a pastor at that point. But I'll tell you that Deb and I didn't even know where Indonesia was on the map. And God had called us to start praying for this country that, I'll be honest with you, I had no clue where it was. Had to do a lot of research. We went on a journey, kind of a fact-finding mission, you know, and during that time, it was in 2002, 2003, and on that trip, God spoke to both Deb and I and said, what do you think? And Pastor came up to me, not Pastor Rick, but another pastor, and said to us, and said, how would you guys like to lead the agency? What? I don't know about that, Lord. Deb and I came back and began to pray, and within months we left our jobs. And Brandon and Deb and I went to missionary training school in Mexico. And in August of 2003, we were dumped in Indonesia. And I use that word because that's basically what happened. All the team that came over, they waved goodbye, and the three of us sat around in our home at that point and looked at each other and said, what now? We had no direction. We had no desire to really, well, we had desire, but we had no knowledge of what we were going to do next. So you know what we did? We prayed. We sat around, and for days on end, not all days, but every day we prayed, and God began to do things that just blew us away. He heard our cry. He had called us, and he heard our cry, and then he began to produce fruit. Now, any missionary can tell you a billion stories, and I literally mean a billion, and I'm not going to do that today. But I do want to just kind of give you some of the things that God gave us the ability to do. Because you see, fruit is the objective of a missionary agency. And we talk about fruit, we talk about it from the standpoint of planting the seed of Jesus Christ and seeing almost immediate action. But I'm here to tell you that fruit for a missionary doesn't always come quickly. So we began to do things that were a little bit bizarre. One day we were called to go to the dump. There's a village by the dump in Denpasar, Bali. So we went there. And yes, you can imagine that the odor was pretty intense. But you know what God said to us? I want you to minister to this Muslim village. It was a Muslim village. Lord, they're Muslims. We're in Bali. This might be dangerous, and it stinks. But what God called us to do, go there every Sunday. And so we would begin to come, and sometimes we'd bring rice because we watched as this Muslim village would take things out of the dump, and what they were doing is collecting things and selling them and living off of that, which really equaled about a dollar a day to us. But we watched them pick things out and prepare them for their dinner at times. One time Deb was met this young little girl. Her name was Effie. And Deb began to just love on this girl, and she took her back to what was the cardboard house, literally. And Deb began to share the gospel, and her father said, "I'm an undercover Christian here." And so Deb was able to encourage her, and Brandon and I came alongside, and out of that contact, we began to come there every day, and we used their, every Sunday, and we used their house to have a Bible study with the Muslim children. And the Muslim leaders began to see that there's something different about these people. And so literally for years, we ministered to those people. And you know, we saw fruit. We saw the opportunity in a place that, quite honestly, I didn't want to be at. But God allowed us to be there, and what a blessing that was, but it took time. I want to, though, process through, and the young man in the sweatshirt right there, right by Deb, his name is Johannes Anacota. Johannes came to work for us out of a Bible college when he was in Bible college in Bali in 2005. I know this dates me, but you know. And he came and he was very fearful. He had no parents. He was from the island of Sumba, which was two or three islands over. Had no parents, and yet there was a somewhat of a desire to hear about Christ. And so we went to a Bible college there. But this young man was so fearful that when he saw white people, he would run. Western people scared him. He thought they were going to eat him, almost literally. And so when we started bringing teams over, you couldn't find Johannes. Johannes would run away for 3 days because he lived in our complex. Or one time we found him when a team was staying there with us under about 10 mattresses that he had piled up because he didn't want to see the Westerners. They scared him. Well, as time went on, he began to feel comfortable and secure with us. And he accepted the security that we offered him. So today, Johannes, he's a pastor. He has his bachelor's, has his master's degree, and he is the overseer, the shepherd of the largest church on Eastern Bali. He also has just been given an orphanage to oversee. A few years ago, Johannes got married, and he called Deb and I, and he said, "You're my parents. Will you come and stand beside me?" And so the fruit that began to develop out of this young man was fear that was so prevalent, to now a confidence that he shares the gospel of Jesus Christ very openly. One other story about Johannes is a few years ago, Deb and I were with a medical team, and we went up to a village called Monti Gunung. Monti Gunung was a very much a Hindu village, and in that village, we did a lot of good things. In fact, Deb was able to minister to a 100-year-old Balinese man. It was pretty cool to watch this man. But at the end of the time when we had an optometrist there, and they were doing some eye clinics and eyes, you know, giving glasses and all that kind of thing. At the end of that, the authorities came, And they sat around and they said, you don't have permission to be here. Well, we thought we did, but we didn't. And that group of Hindus virtually chased us out. And as they were chasing us out, at a certain point, they made a trap for us that we had to dig our cars out and get on past. And then they began to do things that were a little bit strange. They threw rocks at us, and they threw tires at us, and they threw a lot of different things at us. They didn't want us there. Well, that was several years ago, and just this last September, Johannes in that area took a team of with Brandon to minister to these people because there was a earthquake that hit them and they didn't have anything. And so these radical Hindus began to allow the Christians to come in, and there is now a church planted in that unbelievably angry Hindu village. It's God working. Now, if you would have told me that that was going to happen, I would have told you that you're crazy. Because they were pretty angry at us, I have to say to you. The fear that Johannes had was prayed out. Well, I'm not going to say that he doesn't have fear anymore. He still has some of that. But he's now married with two kids, and God is using him to shepherd a flock that is unbelievable because he is so personable to them. He so loves on them. And just by being with us, he was able to do a number of things that in that denomination he's rising. So prayer is so essential, isn't it? It's essential in your personal walk. It's essential in our church, and it's why we have prayer times of prayer. But it's also important for missionaries, because there are times when missionaries hit conflict that God will probably lay on your heart to do something in prayer over them to protect them. It's not the pizza. It's God calling and saying, Pastor Brandon needs some extra help. Or Johannes, now that you've met Johannes in a different way. Well, Calvary Chapel French Valley has had a long history of supporting STL. Pastor Rick has gone over to Indonesia multiple times. And I did have a PowerPoint that I couldn't get to David, and so you don't get to see Pastor Rick and his element over there. But the pictures that I had are Pastor Rick sitting in a group of students, and there's probably 100 of them surrounding him, and of course he towers over them. But his heart of teaching and sharing and coming alongside of is so huge, and he's been over probably 6 or 7 times now, doing what he loves to do, and that's teaching. We've taken, as I've shared, dental teams and medical teams from this church over there. And that has been fruitful because there are now 3 or 4 Indonesians that, because of Dr. Phil, and many of you know who Dr. Phil is, Dr. Phil and Deb as a dental hygienist, as they poured into the people that were there, we have 3 people that we know that are going through dental school so that they can minister to their people. And there are so many stories about doing dentistry on a table out in the middle of a jungle, and all you have is a few tools. But one of the things, and Deb can tell this story much better than I, but I can remember the time when Deb was ministering to this young girl. And she looks up at Deb, and if you know Deb very well, you know she doesn't sweat very much. I would say she's cold-blooded, but that's probably not the best thing. But here she is sweating, you know? And the girl looks up and says, why are you doing this? And Deb took the opportunity and just shared Jesus Christ with her. Those are the opportunities you get on a missions field. But I want to tell you, those are still opportunities that we find here. Oh, you may not be doing dental work on somebody, you know, out on the road here. But God calls you to do things for people in a way that is just truly unbelievable. You know what he needs? To recognize that you're undone and you need a Savior. He knows that and desires a willingness, doesn't he? And then that you will go. That's what God wants from each and every one of us. We provided help after the tsunami. And then recently in 2010, I guess that's kind of recent, we moved from the island of Bali to a place in East Timor called Kupang. It's a an area that most of the Indonesians that live in Indonesia, they consider Kupang the armpit of Indonesia. You know, it's a very dry, very interesting place, to say the least. But God called us there. And we had never had a desire or a calling, we felt like, to start a church. And yet when we got to Kupang, God opened the door. We sent two Indonesians to the Bible college in the Philippines. They now are shepherding the flock called Shine Fellowship in Kupang. Pastor Brandon, at that point, this church ordained him after he received his master's degree, and his missionary work was so great. He oversees the online in-country work. That's Pastor Rick ordaining Brandon and his, not his wife, but his family's there with him. So we moved to Kupang, and then we were able to give an opportunity to Indonesians to take the church and start to build with it, because Pastor Brandon was called back to Bali to come alongside of our pastor in Indonesia called Pastor Gabriel. Pastor Gabriel desired to have Brandon come and help him part-time, and so we were able to connect them. And so you see, the thing about being a missionary is that God calls you to different things at different times. But this church has helped plant a church. And in Indonesia, that's not an easy task. Because if you do it wrong, they not only will come in and shut it down, because it's a Muslim government, they will hurt your pastors. And yet, there's a hunger and a desire for people to fellowship together. Change is coming again for Pastor Brandon. Pastor Gabriel ended up moving from Bali to Jakarta. And in moving to Jakarta, he has now a church of about 1,500 to 2,000 people. And so Pastor Gabriel asked if we would, in partnership, STL, Calvary Chapel, help have Brandon come up and support him in Jakarta and start what's called an English worship service. In Indonesian, they speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian, but there are a lot of English-speaking people. And so God has opened the door, and we will now be sending Brandon to Jakarta in June to help Pastor Gabriel open an English worship service. God is doing some really great things. Our Shine Fellowship has about 30 to 40 people coming to it, but the Bible studies are even greater. They have Bible studies almost every day, and what the Lord showed us is that while families are being touched and men are being discipled, the women aren't. And God raised up for us a young lady, her name is Oni, and we are now sending her to Bible college so that she can have an impact on a women's ministry over there. She's already teaching several women's Bible studies in Coupon. You see that a tithe is not necessarily something that you understand how far it goes. But our tithe here and what we provide and support for STL has great fruit. Well, no self-respecting missionary would end their sharing without giving you an opportunity to ask God, to encourage you to ask God if he's personally talking to you about giving support. We have an orphanage. We have Pastor Johannes, Pastor Brandon, the Shine Fellowship, all of those things. Maybe something that God wants you to do something financially with, or prayer support with. And as a missionary, you always have to throw that out. And so I'm doing that. But that's up to you. That's not up to me. The title of my message was Beautiful Feet. We started in looking at Isaiah 6:1-8. And we know that each of us have a call on our life. And it means that you are a missionary. Missionary to your family, to your friends, to your coworkers, or to those that God calls you to interact with verbally or by your actions, because people watch you as a Christian. But in addition, in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, God says this: how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Beautiful feet. As missionaries, God tells us that we have beautiful feet because we're bringing the good news of Jesus Christ. That applies not only to missionaries, it applies to every one of us that shares the gospel. If you've not shared the gospel with anybody, understand that you really have. Because people around you are watching you. And if your actions are contrary to what people believe, oh, that's a Christian? Have you ever heard, I thought you called yourself a Christian? You ever heard that? People are watching us. You're a missionary. You're somebody that has the ability to do what Isaiah did and share the gospel. Well, today we're going to do that together as a missionary church in sending out a couple. This is the last Sunday that Barry and Barbara are going to be with us. And I want to read to you out of Acts chapter 13. It says, as they ministered, and they're talking about Barnabas and several people, Paul, Saul, and several other people. But it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. So I'm going to ask you two to come up and sit in our illustrious chairs right here. And I'm going to have a couple of people share some things. And then we're going to collectively pray over these two. Because even though they don't see themselves going out as a missionary, they are. They're taking part of Calvary Chapel, French Valley, and going to another church, and they're going to take their hearts, the beauty of who they are, and begin to minister in Idaho. Yes, we're sad that they're leaving, but we also are going with them in some ways because we will continue to be in prayer over them and love on them. And so, Jeremy, if you will come.
I was asked to speak. For one, I've served with Barry for a very long time. Since he came to this church, I don't even know if it was a week he was at our church, and he approached me, and I just remember vividly his yellow-tinted aviator sunglasses. He just came right up to me, and he's like, I can help. What can I do? And I, honestly, I was overwhelmed to have someone just so, excited to help us. And so Barry and I began serving together back in the soundboard and multimedia. And as you all know, his role has grown, and he's moved on to all kinds of ministries. He's served in the prayer ministry. He's served to help the church office when we had our own church office. We've served together and going through different fellowship groups like J-Men. We went through the J-Men study together. But most of all, like, he's served you. He really has served you, him and Barbara together. Barbara has always been faithful by his side to support him as he's given his time. I'm super sad. I didn't know that I would be so sad to say goodbye to Barry. And it's not a selfish sad. I'm sad because I'll miss him singing with me in the back as loud as anybody. His loud clap. I'll miss his help and his steady hand. I'll miss his passion to serving you with prayer. We get a rare opportunity as in the back to see our congregation as they don't expect us to see them. We see people who are struggling. We see people who really need a prayer. And it's very often that Barry and I will look and we'll just pray silently for whoever it is in our congregation that is hurting or needs a little extra touch from God. I'll miss that more than anything. But I know that, as Randy has said, that their journey doesn't end here. They're going to take their energy and their experience and their love for God elsewhere. And I can't say that I'd blame them. I know that I would want to be close to my children if they had moved away, and I would do the same. I hope that Barry and Barb, I hope you guys know, I just need to look at you a minute. How much you've touched me and how much I've learned from you both and how great of an influence you've been on me in my life. I'll never forget you. I'll never forget what you've taught me and how kind you've been to me. Just thank you so much for loving us and loving our little church. And I just pray that God will bless your needs in every way that you want. Andy's going to come up and say a few things as well before we end. Thank you all.
You know me too well. Barry, Barbara, on behalf of Pastor Rick, Pastor Randy, the elders of the church, and the deacons of the church, we just want to give you a heartfelt thank you for what you do. It seems like you're always in the background of what people don't see happening with you guys, but you're always, just like Jeremy said, you're always available to anybody in the church, to Pastor Rick, just as a whole, to be available for whatever needs happen to come up, whether it's serving back in the sound ministry, taking pictures, being on the prayer committee. It's endless. I could go on and on and on, and it's just such an inspiration for myself, as Jeremy said, just to see where your heart is at. And we know that in your next venture in Idaho, you're going to step up right where you left off. This is not going to be the final thing for you guys, and we're going to miss you. The church is going to miss you, and we just wish you the best in everything that you do. On a personal note, please don't go. Okay. you will be missed more than you even imagine you'll be missed. You're very good friends, and I've learned a lot from you just watching you, not even so much as a classroom thing, but just watching you and your heart for the Lord. It shows. Anybody that knows you, anybody that has been around you has been touched by you guys, whether you know it or not. So thank you for everything that you've done. We know that you're going to continue at the next church, whatever it happens to be, just like Jeremy said, of stepping up and serving and continue to serve the Lord. And I'm going to miss also on the studies that you're the only one that will correct Pastor Rick. And 99.7% of the time, you're right and he's wrong. So it's always great for you to have that input, Barry, because it's like, it's good. Pastor Rick isn't all that.
He's watching, by the way.
Anyway, just just thank you guys, and know that you're always welcome back here. If you need a place to stay, you're welcome to stay at our place, or I know that other people will open up their homes for you. And as well as we go visit you, we know that we can kick you out of your own home. You can go with your kids, and we'll stay in your house. So thank you again. God bless you in your ventures. God bless you in your travels and everything else. And we know that this isn't goodbye. This is see you later. And just congratulations. And thank you again for everything that you've done for this church. You've made this church what this church is. Thank you.
Hold that. You know, there are times when you could go on forever and have a parade of people come and share and all of that. And we're not going to put you through that, Barry and Barb. Thank you, Randy. And I will say to you that it's interesting that Andy said that you could stay with him, because he's never invited me to his house. So what that means is that you're very special people, which we know. And we don't want to embarrass you, but what we want you to know is that we love you. We're saddened by your going. You have been workers that have, by your actions and your words and your character, have demonstrated what a Christian is. I didn't say you were perfect, but what I do say is that we're thankful that God brought you to us. And, you know, if you need to find a church up there that and need us to say anything to them about letting you work, just have them call. We'll take care of that for you. Because we want you to continue to express the beauty of who Christ is to them. We're going to pray over you, and I'm going to ask the elders and their wives to come up so we can lay hands on you guys. And a couple of us will pray over you. You can sit right there. And I'm going to ask that all of our body puts their hand out as we pray over them. And so one or two pray, and then I will close.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for just the opportunity to send Barbara and Barry out, to send them out to let your kingdom grow even further, Lord. Thank you for their beautiful hearts, yes, that serve you and ask for nothing. Mm-hmm. Lord, we thank you so much for them and all they have given us. Lord, bless them on their journeys and keep them safe.
Thank you, Father, for this beautiful couple that you've given this church. Their service, their blessings that they've given to everyone by their example. And I think I'd be remiss if I didn't say, go Dodgers. Thank you, Lord, for these two. Pray for them going forward, that that they're blessed in everything they do in their future. Pray this in Jesus' name.
What a role model these two are for, and an inspiration to each of us, Lord. And I just thank you for them because they've blessed my life as a servant to you, Lord, and what a true, quiet, humble man should be. Lord, they continue to work behind the scenes and doing your will. And probably one of the things that wasn't mentioned that I thank Barry personally for was he introduced grits to the men's breakfast. And so we thank you for that as well. But he will be missed, Lord. We pray for your blessings as he moves into a new church, into a new family, Lord, that you will continue to use both of them as you have here in this church, because he will bless others. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name.
And Father, as the church at Antioch called the elders together and asked that Barnabas and Saul be separated for the work that you had for them, we're doing that here, Father. We're bringing Barry and Barb here to be separated and to go forth and to do what you've called them to do in Idaho. And so we pray for an anointing upon them. We pray for an empowerment by your Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, for a physical touch on both, that they would receive a touch physically on them to just empower them. And we pray for a covering by the blood of Jesus Christ, that as they go forth, that each and every opportunity that you call them to minister and share the name of Jesus Christ, that they would be emboldened and that they, Father, would never shrink back from the opportunity and the blessing of sharing Jesus Christ. We pray that you would anoint them, Father, in their travels, that you would protect them, that as they settle into a new home, that you, Father, would fill that house by the Holy Spirit to be a powerful, powerful Holy Spirit house, Father, that anybody walks in, that they would experience the Spirit falling upon them, Father. And Lord, we pray that as Barry and Barb leave this next week, that you would allow them to carry this church with them, knowing that we love them, we care for them, and we always have a chair for them. Bless them, bless the new church, give them your strength, and empower them to be the missions worker that you've called them to be. In the precious name of Jesus do we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us as we all seek to align our worldview with God's Word. If you have any questions on anything you heard in this message, let us know. You can go to calvaryfv.com/worldview. There you'll find a place to send us your comments or questions. You'll also find other messages in this series. You can also go to calvaryfv.com/connect to find all the ways that you can connect with us. As Christians, we are all connected in Christ. One of the ways that we'd like to engage with you is in the area of prayer. Please let us know if there's any way we can be praying for you. You can send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com or text the word pray to 951-419-5396. If this material has been useful to you, please leave a comment or review and subscribe to this channel so that you don't miss other things that we publish. Also, please pray that God would use these messages to help others find hope in Jesus Christ. You can also partner with us financially by going to calvaryfv.com/give or text the word give to 951-419-5396. Until next time, go be radical with Jesus.